This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. Thank you for joining me on my weekly podcast. You can subscribe to our newsletter, which is free. Just go to drhoffman.com, sign up for the newsletter. You can unsubscribe at any time, and that comes out weekly as well, typically every Wednesday, Thursday or so. I hope you've had a nice summer. Here we are getting back into holiday season again. You can email me with any topics of interest or health questions, wellness, nutrition questions, to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. I have a question here from Carolyn. Carolyn writes, and she's emailed me to radioprogram@AOL.com. She says, I want to know the grams and milligrams I need of magnesium taurate for mitral valve prolapse and protosorb magnesium for restful sleep. And where do I get protosorb magnesium? Also, what amounts of magnesium citrate do I need to alleviate constipation? Do I have to get all three magnesiums for my different conditions? This is a terrific question. And listen, I just wrote an article, a similar question about the different types of magnesium that we offer. And Carolyn, where you get it is go to drhoffman.com, go to the store. You can create an account at fullscript.com. Fullscript.com, and there you will have access to all the different types of magnesium. So let me discuss these. Magnesium taurate, Carolyn asks about, for mitral valve prolapse. Mitral valve prolapse is a condition, I don't like to call it a condition, it's more of a phenomenon, it's something you're born with. The mitral valve is formed in a 16-week-old fetus, along with other things, other parts of the body. But that much I know about the mitral valve, because I have mitral valve prolapse too, and I take magnesium, and it's terrific. So magnesium taurate is preferred for mitral valve prolapse, because magnesium taurate is meant for cardiovascular anything. Also for blood pressure. The addition of taurine, which has a slight diuretic effect, is very helpful that way. So a typical dose of magnesium taurate for mitral valve prolapse, or for any other condition for that matter, having to do with the heart, the capsules are generally, there are 125 milligrams a capsule, and your practitioner may recommend taking one capsule twice daily, for a total of 250, right? 125 and 125, or as much as two twice daily on magnesium taurate. It's very helpful that way. Now, as far as protosorb magnesium for restful sleep, protosorb magnesium is magnesium L-threonate. This is the type of magnesium L-threonate, which is beneficial because it crosses the blood-brain barrier, directly impacting the brain. I have taken both magnesium taurate and magnesium L-threonate, because when we have a new product or something, I like to try them out. Magnesium L-threonate definitely has a very clear sedating effect and is meant to be taken at nighttime, maybe sometime after dinner, bedtime, to help with restful sleep. Three capsules are generally about 144 milligrams of magnesium L-threonate. And what you could do with the three capsules is kind of take it later in the day, starting after lunch. Or maybe you could just take two after dinner. That's often helpful. I found that two is a pretty good dose. And then the other thing, Carolyn, is for restful sleep, while magnesium is very, very beneficial, first look at what you're eating and drinking and make sure you're not taking anything containing stimulants like caffeine later in the day or even as early as, you know, 2 p.m. or even afternoon. Listen, I have clients who, if they take a caffeinated beverage, a cup of coffee, a cup of tea after noon, they don't have a very restful sleep that evening. Be careful that dark chocolate, too, if you're having any. And also, stimulating supplements such as CoQ10, green tea, EGCG is green tea. These have a little more stimulating effect, and you'll be better off taking those earlier in the day. Breakfast time, lunch time. So helpful to take it that way. And even something like B vitamins and B12. Although I find that the amount of inositol in a B-complex supplement is also very sedating and helpful that way. Now, many forms of magnesium do have a stool softening effect. And if you're taking magnesium taurate or protosorb magnesium for sleep, you may find that this is enough to alleviate any constipation. However, if you do need additional magnesium citrate, the citrate form of magnesium is the least bioavailable, meaning it kind of hangs out in the bowel, draws more water to it. It's a natural stool softener and is wonderful for alleviating constipation. Taking one or two or even three capsules of magnesium citrate, say after dinner, or taking one after lunch, one after dinner, two after lunch, two after dinner, can help with constipation. But again, let me reiterate, if you're already taking magnesium taurate for mitral valve prolapse, protosorb magnesium for sleep, you may find that it's plenty. And if you're already taking magnesium taurate, say you're taking 250 milligrams to 500 milligrams a day for mitral valve prolapse, that's enough. And if you're taking about 150 milligrams of protosorb magnesium for sleep, that's enough. And you may find that this is helpful. Oh, since you're asking about constipation, Carolyn, make sure that you're not, chocolate is constipating, did you know? And the darker, it could be more constipating because dark chocolate is very tannic. Those tannins dry our mouths. They have a bit of an astringent quality, right? And anything that causes a little bit of dry mouth, think of that, causes you to have a dry mouth. Also dries up our insides, including the bowel. So you need to drink more water. Make sure you're taking ample water, 6 to 8 ounce cups per day for constipation. Also, avoid, here is the acronym BRAT, B-R-A-T. Avoid these foods if you're constipated. Bananas, rice, that's white rice, not brown rice. Brown rice has fiber. It'll help you to go. Applesauce, the A is for applesauce. The T is for tea and toast. And when I say tea, I mean black tea, regular tea. Because black tea is also very tannic, very astringent, and that also dries us up. Anything, again, that gives us a dry mouth also dries up our insides. So keep that in mind You don't want to be eating bananas and white rice and having to take magnesium citrate when what you really need to do is greatly reduce or eliminate those foods and see if that helps you out. But again, the magnesium taurate, the protosorb magnesium, that should also help you. Other foods that are constipating while I'm at it. Hard cheeses, your cheddar, your Swiss, the hard block cheeses. Cheeses are constipating. Raw nuts. I tell you, I have clients, if they look at a raw nut, they're not having a bowel movement today or tomorrow. That's just what happens. Why? But raw nuts are healthy, you say. Yes, they are. However, raw nuts contain naturally occurring trypsin inhibitors. That means they inhibit our own digestive juices. If they're inhibiting our digestive juices, we're not going to digest well. And if we're not digesting well, we're not going to poop. It's that simple. What I would have anyone do who's constipated, who enjoys eating nuts, is toast them. You could toast your nuts on a dry skillet over medium heat. You don't have to add anything to it. You don't have to add any oil or anything. Just dry skillet over medium heat. Sometime between 5 and 10 minutes, or when you get a nice aroma of the nuts, they're nice and toasted, and that toasting is enough to reduce or deactivate those trypsin inhibitors so they don't inhibit your digestive juices, or at least not so much. Alternatively, you could put your raw nuts on a flat cookie sheet in the oven at 350. And again, sometime between 5 and 10 minutes is when you get the aroma that's permeating in the kitchen, they're nicely toasted, those trypsin inhibitors are deactivated, and once they've cooled off, you should store them in the fridge. That's the best place to keep them, because once they're toasted, roasted, those nut fats can go rancid pretty quickly, and you want some refrigeration. Carolyn, I hope this answers your question about the different types of magnesium. And how do you know if you've taken too much magnesium? You'll have diarrhea, or you'll have a softer stool than usual, or you'll have more frequent bowel movements than usual. Just lean back on the dose, cut back on the dose, and you'll know. Okay, on to, why does alcohol give you the munchies? And if you're like many people, the more you drink, the more you eat. This is apropos coming upon holiday season. Maybe I'm a little too early. It's only September, but munching on a bag of Doritos while guzzling a beer or nibbling at cheese cubes with a glass of wine in hand may be pleasurable, but it can come with unwanted side effects, including increased bloat, calories, and weight gain. So this much most of us have already experienced firsthand, right? But the more interesting question is, why does alcohol give us the munchies in the first place? We thought that was just relegated to marijuana. Not so. So one of the simplest explanations as to why we eat more when we drink is that alcohol lowers our inhibitions, right? So lowering inhibitions is, pardon that tear of the page here, lowering our inhibitions is one reason that we would eat more. You're more likely to grab, you know, snack food, chips, nuts, or anything without giving up much thought. But did you know that alcohol is a hypoglycemic? You must know if you listen to this podcast regularly. I've mentioned it many times. In fact, because alcohol is a hypoglycemic, one drink, meaning one glass of wine, or one cocktail that does not have sugar in it, like a fruit juice or anything, like a screwdriver, a vodka and orange juice, or a vodka and tonic. You don't want that. But one drink, and being a hypoglycemic, is terrific for anybody with prediabetes or diabetes because it helps to lower the blood sugar. But if you've got a normal blood sugar and that drink is having a hypoglycemic effect, what happens when our blood sugar goes down? It's time to eat. We're hungry. So that drink, that cocktail, that glass of wine, and more, because the more you have, the more it may cause this effect. Now, alcohol also has calories. A gram of carbohydrate is 4 calories. A gram of protein is 4 calories. A gram of fat is 9 calories. Did you know a gram of alcohol is 7 calories? We're also taking in a lot of calories. A glass of wine can be as much as, you know, from 100 to 130 calories. Add to that a few more, you've taken in almost a dessert right there. And alcohol is preferentially metabolized before any food, preferentially by the liver. So all the calories you're eating with your meal, as well as the other munchies, is all backing up. And that would be a reason for weight gain. You know, when you enter a restaurant and your table's not yet ready and you're sent to the bar to have an aperitif, that really does whet your appetite. That's what it's for, that drink. Alcohol, in addition to lowering our defenses, lowering our blood sugar, it can influence hormones tied to satiety or feeling full. Alcohol may limit the effects of leptin. And leptin is a hormone that suppresses our appetite. It's a glucagon-like peptide, GLP-1, glucagon-like peptide 1. And this is a hormone that inhibits food intake. And when we drink, it inhibits this very useful hormone that inhibits our appetite. But there may be other mechanisms. There is some research that suggests that alcohol might stimulate nerve cells in the brain's hypothalamus that increases appetite. The hypothalamus is the master and commander gland of all the other glands in the body, the pituitary, the thyroid, all the other endocrine. So alcohol might stimulate nerve cells in the brain's hypothalamus that increase appetite. And according to one study, neurons in the brain that are generally activated by actual starvation, causing an intense feeling of hunger, can be stimulated by alcohol. So, for those of you trying to lose weight, you're eating beautifully, but the weight's not budging, I would suggest you eliminate alcohol. And if you eliminate it for as little as a month, it can change the mapping of your hormones so that you're able to eat less, not get the munchies, and be more of a fat-burning mode, especially when you're on a low-carb diet. So, animal research shows that, independent of other factors, when alcohol stimulates this part of the brain, it can trigger a sharp increase in appetite, which can lead to us overeating. So instead of your body recognizing, I just got all these calories, so I have fuel and I'm full, the opposite occurs. And even though calories are being ingested, the brain is triggering more food intake. It's like drinking a soda or a juice. It doesn't fill you. It's giving you quite a bit of calories, however. But it's not giving your brain the signal that you're full. See, alcohol is a proxy to sugar. They're kind of working the same way. And especially in a beverage, a fructose-containing beverage, a juice or a soda, a soft drink. And as I said earlier, alcohol lowers blood sugar, and that causes us to really crave sugar and carbs. And drinking alcohol can impair the liver's ability to release the right amount of glycogen or stored glucose into the blood to keep blood glucose levels stable. So that's what's happening there. That's almost like the mode of action of it being a hypoglycemic. It doesn't let your liver do its job to help maintain normal glucose levels. So people with diabetes are at even higher risk for low blood sugar when they drink, especially when consuming alcohol on an empty stomach. And again, for diabetics, it's just that one drink and that's all. But listen, I never advise alcohol intake to have any kind of health benefit at all. There are simply too many risks. So many people are coming down with atrial fibrillation and all kinds of other problems. Alcohol wipes out magnesium and B vitamins. So, and again, remember the caloric intake. Alcohol has 7 calories per gram, and that's more calories than you get per gram of protein or carbs, which have 4 calories per gram each. So a 5-ounce glass of wine might have only 120 or 125 calories, and a light beer even less. But when you add the mixers, the juice, the soda, the syrups, the cream, and coconut, these all pack sugar and fat calories on top of the alcohol. Hey, you want to have a dessert? Have a margarita, a piña colada. These are calorie bombs. It's a lot. So, tips to curb our alcohol munchies? 1, don't drink at all. Or if you do drink, drink with a balanced meal. When you eat, it inhibits the absorption of the alcohol. You don't want to drink on an empty stomach. That'll really turn you into a cheap date. Don't have unhealthy snacks lying around. Don't have access to chips, pizza, candy, all of those. You know, if you notice, when you have alcohol and have dinner, it may then cause you to crave a dessert, whereas you normally wouldn't crave dessert if you weren't drinking. That's something to be mindful of the next time you drink. So this is why alcohol can indeed give you the munchies. I want to thank you for joining me on another issue of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.